Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
I just want to say happy Mother's Day to everyone, to all the mothers. And today is a day where we honor and celebrate our mothers, but also not just mothers. Today is a day to celebrate all the women in our lives, our mothers, our grandmothers, sisters, daughters, and friends. And we pause to give thanks for the strength, faith, and love that women bring to our families, our church, and our community. But I also want to speak to more than just mothers today. And today is a day that can be hard for some. So before we begin with the sermon, I just want to acknowledge that Mother's Day can be a tender and difficult day for many. For those who have lost their mothers, for those who have longed to have children but have not, for those who have experienced miscarriage or the deep grief of losing a child, please know that you are seen and loved. The church is a place where we bear one another's burdens and hold space for both joy and sorrow. And today, as we open God's word, we look to the one who comforts the brokenhearted, restores what's been lost, and calls each one of us, no matter our story, into a life of purpose, healing, and hope. So before we move on, let us bow our heads and pray. Gracious and compassionate God, today when we give thanks for mothers and celebrate the gift of life, we also lift up those who carry heartache. For those who have lost their mothers, bring comfort, Lord. For those who have longed for children but still wait, bring peace. For those who have experienced miscarriage or the pain of losing a child, would you bring healing, Lord? For those with complicated relationships with their mothers or their children, bring grace and reconciliation, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know every story in this room. You see every wound and every hope. Surround each heart today with your love. Speak your word of life and remind us that in your kingdom, no sorrow is unseen and no tear is wasted. Fill us all with your presence as we turn to your word and help us to hear your call once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my sermon for today is titled, I Have Seen the Lord, The Vocation of Mary Magdalene. So my hope for today's sermon is that it's a message of encouragement and education for all of us this morning. Because the story we're going to look at is about calling. Today's message is about how Mary Magdalene's life, shows us what it means to be called by Jesus. To follow him with courage, to serve him faithfully, and to proclaim his resurrection with boldness. Today's sermon is about what it means to follow Jesus, to live into our vocation, and to be faithful, even when culture or tradition tries to tell us otherwise. So Mary Magdalene is a woman in biblical and church history who has been shrouded in mystery, myth, and unfortunately misinformation for much of the past 2,000 years. Sadly, her name has been associated with many things that the New Testament writers never attributed to her. So who is the true Mary Magdalene from the Bible? And in what ways did she embody vocation in her unique historical context? How does her story inform our own sense of calling and contribute to the life of the Christian community today? So, the real Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, she's mentioned in all four gospel accounts. And so that alone tells us something significant. She mattered. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John, Mary is introduced to the story in the Passion Week, the week leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. But Luke's Gospel gives us a little more background. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, it says, "The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means." So that's it. That's all we get about Mary's past. Along with Mark 16:9, this is the only reference to Mary's deliverance. There's no mention to her being a prostitute. There's no mention of her being the woman who anointed Jesus' feet or the woman caught in adultery. So over time, Mary Magdalene was mistakenly associated with several unnamed women in the Bible. Who ever heard that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute? Yeah, or that she was the woman who poured perfume on Jesus' feet, or the woman caught in adultery. There's all these stories of unnamed women that were associated with Mary Magdalene, but nowhere in the Bible is that association made. So there's no biblical evidence for those associations. As New Testament scholar Walter Liefeld puts it clearly, Luke does not say that Mary Magdalene, as often thought, had been a prostitute. She is not identified with the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet. Luke does refer to her as an object of the grace and power of God in being released from 7 demons. Lucy Winkett, who is an Anglican priest and theologian, she reflects on this misunderstanding about Mary and writes, "The penitent sinner, the reformed prostitute, has been the prevailing characterization of Mary. And her part, particularly in the story of Holy Week, is always in the context of a grateful fallen woman, probably in love with Jesus, devoted to him, and devastated by his death as a deserted lover would be. There is, in fact, no clear biblical evidence for this character, Mary Magdalene, the penitent sinner." So if that's not who she was, then who was she? Who was Mary Magdalene? So we know that Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her. And that's where her journey with Jesus began. It began in liberation. She experienced freedom and healing through Jesus, and she responded by following him. Not only that, she was one of the women who supported Jesus and his disciples out of her own means, supported Jesus financially. And that's very significant because in first century Mediterranean society, women didn't have the same rights and freedoms that we take for granted today. They couldn't vote, hold political office, or serve as public leaders. And women's roles were typically confined to the household, raising children, preparing meals, making clothes, and managing the home. And that's what was expected. But Mary Magdalene defied those expectations. She followed Jesus. She traveled with him. She supported his ministry financially. She's part of a traveling group of disciples, which was a radical act in her time. John T. Carroll, who's a biblical scholar, he's also an expert on the social world of the New Testament. He observed that, and I quote, "Whether as unmarried women or widows, or as married women operating independently of their household system, the women are present in the traveling band of Jesus' followers, which is a remarkable development in a social world where location, and role in the household are so determinative of identity and behavior. So Mary was most likely a single, wealthy woman who had been set free from demonic oppression and chose to dedicate her life and resources to Jesus. That's what vocation or calling looked like for her. Like a radical, countercultural act of devotion. Mary Magdalene didn't just follow Jesus during the good times. So all four of our gospel accounts, they tell us that she was one of the few disciples who stayed with Jesus up until the crucifixion. So from scriptural reference, we're fairly certain that John was the only disciple there at the crucifixion. Judas betrayed him, Peter denied him, and the other nine abandoned him. It was only John, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and a few other women who stayed with him to the bitter end. And Mary was one of them. And Donald Hagner, he's a respected New Testament professor, he captures this beautifully and says, at the very end, it is the women and not the disciples who are there at the cross. They thus reflect a greater degree of loyalty to their master. As they had faithfully supported him during his ministry, so now it is they who remain with him, even if at a distance, to the bitter end. And what's more is Mary was one of the first to witness the resurrection of Jesus. She was the first to whom Jesus appeared. And she was the first to proclaim, I have seen the Lord, as we read from our text earlier. Jesus chose a woman to be the first witness of the resurrection. And he gave her a prophetic commission. Go and tell my brothers. Lucy Winkett is the Anglican theologian I mentioned earlier. She says, Mary is not to be silent. She is to speak. She is to speak explicitly to teach her brothers by speaking of her experience. Mary is to be an agent of God's revelation to the world. So Mary Magdalene, in a very real way, became an apostle to the apostles. She proclaimed the gospel, the good news that Jesus is alive. And Scripture credits her, a woman, as the first person to ever proclaim that Jesus is alive. Is that the first time anyone's heard that this morning? But it's very clear when you look at Scripture. She was the one who Jesus sent to tell the apostles that he had risen. And when I learned that, it's really amazing. Mary went to the disciples and proclaimed, I have seen the Lord. So, bearing God's image and calling today. Mary Magdalene embodied what it means to bear God's image. She stepped outside of the box that her culture tried to put her in. She followed Jesus with courage and faithfulness. She witnessed his death and resurrection. She proclaimed his victory. Mary reminds us that God is no respecter of persons or genders. Mary's story points us to the truth of Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Mary teaches us that women have always had a vital place in God's mission. And she challenges all of us, men and women alike, to be faithful to the call of Jesus on our lives, even when it goes against what's considered normal in our cultural context. Mary reminds us that our calling isn't about fitting a mold or playing it safe. It's about hearing the voice of Jesus and saying yes to him. Our calling is about hearing the voice of Jesus and saying yes to him. It's about following him, supporting his mission, standing with him through suffering, and proclaiming his resurrection to the world. So Mary's story helps us reflect on what the Bible means by vocation. Now, often this word vocation is often seen as something that only applies to people who work in religious service. But that's not really what the biblical meaning of the word vocation is. At its core, vocation is about God's call. First, about his general call. It goes out to all people. And that call is to believe the gospel, to follow Jesus, and to be conformed into his image. That's the calling that's on every person. But there's also a specific call on each of our lives. You know, sometimes we ask, what is God's will for my life? And God does have a plan for each individual, a specific call. Particular ways God invites us to serve him and bear his image uniquely in the world. And often it's in the faithful pursuit of the general call, loving God, surrendering to him, and walking in holiness, that we begin to discern more clearly the specific call. In Romans 12, 1-2, Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So this passage suggests that as we commit ourselves fully to God, to the general call, we are transformed. And in that transformation, we grow in the discernment of the specific call for our lives. So in conclusion, as I begin to close, Mary Magdalene embodied what it means to live a life of vocation, life of calling. She was delivered by Jesus from 7 demons. She became one of his disciples, a benefactor of his ministry, a witness to his death, and the first herald of his resurrection. Mary embodied the call to be part of God's covenant people. She embodied the call to be part of God's covenant people, to speak prophetically, and to bear God's image in a world that often undervalued women. Mary's faithfulness, her courage, and her voice echo across time to encourage each one of us today. Mary shows us that calling is not confined by gender or background. It's not about fitting a mold or seeking approval. Calling is about hearing the voice of Jesus, following him wherever he leads, and bearing witness to what we have seen and heard. Mary reminds us that God calls all people, men, women, young, old, rich, and poor, to enter his kingdom and to participate in his mission of restoration. Mary Magdalene's life shows us what it means to be called by Jesus. To follow him with courage, she left behind her past and stepped into a new life of discipleship. To serve him faithfully by supporting his ministry, even when it defied social norms. And to proclaim his resurrection with boldness as the first witness and messenger of the risen Christ. So today on Mother's Day, we give thanks not only for the women in our lives, but for the calling of every believer. May all of us, like Mary Magdalene, hear Jesus' voice, follow him with devotion, and boldly proclaim, "I have seen the Lord." Amen. So I'm going to invite Steve and Hannah back up. But before we sing a closing song, I just want us to have a brief time of prayer and reflection. And so I have three questions for us to reflect upon as we pray, before we pray. So let's just bow our heads. The first question is, are there cultural expectations or assumptions that you feel called to challenge, like Mary did, in order to follow Jesus more faithfully? My mind is drawn to the many advancements of social rights in history. They're often done by the church or by believers. Perhaps you've sensed a specific calling from God. Have you sensed a calling from the Lord calling you to something specific? If not, how might following God's general call to love, trust, and obey him lead you into greater clarity? And lastly, who in your life right now needs to hear the good news that Jesus is alive? Let us just think and pray about these questions for a few moments. Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you for the testimony of Mary Magdalene and how it helps us to understand what it means to be called by you. And Father, I pray that you will just speak to us this morning. Lord, if there's something specific you're calling us to, may you just bring that to our minds right now. If there's a person that you're bringing to mind for us to share the gospel with, would you give us the courage and the boldness to do that this week or whenever the opportunity presents itself? May you help each one of us to daily surrender to you and to walk into that general call to love, trust, and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.